Okay.
Okay.
Only time I got anything close to a headache is when I had severe chemical exposures like gasoline or turpentine or fabric softener when I was chemically sensitive. I would just have to go home and go to bed, and I'd wake up the next day okay. But I had like a headache up here. I called it my chemical headache. It was right up in this area on the right side.
Right.
No, but I don't think it was a true migraine, but it might have constricted blood vessels because those chemicals go through the blood-brain barrier.
Well, let's count that as a headache. How about you, Sue? You.
I get headaches sometimes, but not my, I wouldn't call them migraines. My brother gets very bad migraines, so I'd be interested for him for
So,
sure.
but still, you get chemical headaches, right?
Yeah, not terrible.
Not
Not
terrible,
terrible.
because that's what Michael used to get, the chemical
Yeah.
headaches. Yeah,
Okay.
too. And how about you, Alta?
I get stress headaches, migraines. I start with either a tiny blind spot, it gets bigger, or I get zigzag lines. But I get silent migraines. I don't get the pain. I get the visual thing.
Oh, I get those ocular migraines. I forgot.
And
They
then
call
I take the medication, or this past year, since I saw our neurologist, I ride them through. I just sit with my eyes closed and try not to concentrate on anything and ride it through so I don't have to take those heavy duty drugs.
Okay, so today, I think most of you get headaches of some sort or migraines. So Samira and Sindar are going to give their solutions to how they address theirs. And we're focusing mostly on the natural remedies. But if you take a specific drug for something, let's say that too, so we'll know like what they're using even mainstream for these headaches. So like Samira and Sindar, they have to leave. So let's start with Sindar. I think you have the biggest crunch. And I'm going to take notes. We're being recorded, and I'm going to take notes so we learn from everybody. And I also did look up on the internet and found one source that was well referenced about headaches and natural remedies. So after Sindar and Samira talk, I just want to go through them quick to see if anybody has any comments, positive or negative, about their suggestions. Okay. Okay, Sindar.
Hi, nice to meet you all. I've been into natural remedies since I was 18, and I've been dealing with migraines since I was 19, and I'll be 41 next month. So I've been figuring it out this way for a long time. And when I get them, the effects that I get are I get dizzy, I get nauseous, I'm very sensitive to sound and light, and certain foods can bring it on very easily. I tend to use arnica gel, and if I can catch it early on, that can really help if I put it on my temples and on the back of my neck. I also will use an ice mask or put ice on my head and my temples. I do find that staying hydrated is the most important thing, making sure that I don't miss a meal, because if I have an empty stomach and I'm running around, that can bring on a headache. I avoid alcohol, chocolate, wheat, cheese, and smoking to the best of my ability, but I'm human, so sometimes if I eat foods like that, it can bring on a headache. High quality peppermint oil I find to be really helpful. If it's a really strong, expensive brand, it's usually better. 100% is important, but you don't want to just put it on your skin. You certainly don't want to get it in your eyes, but if you get some coconut oil and you mix it together and you just apply it there and there, maybe up here and on your neck, that can really help, especially if you're catching it in the beginning. If you're really deep in the headache, it can bring some relief. I'll usually do a combination of that and the arnica, and then I'll lay on an acupuncture mat. And they're actually pretty common these days. And I have one I can show you. Looks like this. It's got these little, it's hard to see, I guess, but these little plastic spikes on there, and it usually comes with a pillow. So if you put the arnica on and then you lay down on that, it is intense to adjust to because it's spiky. So some people try it with a shirt on at first, but it's best if you don't have it on and you slowly lay back onto it and you just try to relax. And that I have found for me is the best thing to get rid of a headache, especially if I have things to do, like going to work or just have to get out in the world, because usually you just want to hide from the world when you have a headache like that. But laying on the
where
mat.
Where do you put your pillow?
I put it under my neck, but they're usually kind of big and I'm small, but I will sometimes just lay with my head on the mat because the little spikes going into your head feel really good. It relieves the pressure and it works really well if you do the whole thing. But if the mat's too intense for you, just doing the pillow is helpful.
Is there a certain brand of mat you get?
Well, it depends how much you want to spend, because they have them as cheap as like $27 on Amazon. And I can link the one that I use. But you can spend up to $300 or more on one as well. Mm-hmm. My friend has a really nice one. So it really depends what you want to spend. I think the $30 range works great. And I just got a new one. They do wear down over time, the little spikes on there. So maybe after a year, you want to get a new one if you use it a lot. And the final thing. Yeah.
You put the mat under your back or under your head as well?
I do both. If it's really bad, I do both. And I just try to put on a frequency also. There's a lot of frequencies out there that you can listen to for migraines. So I'll do that, lay on the mat and the pillow with the arnica, and it really helps. And you can throw the ice in the mix too. And then the final thing, besides the frequencies I was going to mention, there's, if you go on YouTube and type in migraine healing frequencies, there's so many different ones that you can find on there. I have a favorite I can send to the group as well. And the last thing I'll say is I do have a medical marijuana card, so they do make edibles, which I find really help to take the pain away. And that's a final resort. If nothing else works, then, and I have to sleep it off, then I'll take an edible with cannabis in it, and I will sleep it off for the rest of the day if I can. So that's what works for me. And just reducing stress, avoiding, I told you the foods to avoid already, right? So yeah, so that's what works for me. And I can answer any more questions if you have any more.
Can you go over the foods again? I got the alcohol, smoking, and chocolate.
So wheat, I find, and sometimes gluten can trigger the headache, cheese, definitely chocolate and alcohol. As far as caffeine goes, some people say that it gets rid of the headache, but I think it can really bring them on if you have a dependency with caffeine. And if that's the case, the caffeine can make the headache go away. But I don't think it's really a cure for it. I just think it's a maintenance thing when you already have so much caffeine in your system. And any type of smoke or smoking can bring on a headache as well. And stress, of course. So doing things that relax you is the best thing to do.
What do you do for relaxation?
Well, normally I would say take a bath, but in this case, I found that hot water and heat can make the headache worse. So yoga is a great thing, and it can actually move the headache out.
About how often do you get them?
It varies. If I'm going to the chiropractor regularly, I get them much less. But if I don't see him for a month, then the headaches will come back. But that ties in with neck issues I have, and everybody's different. But I do find that if your spine's out of alignment, you get more headaches.
Is this a chiropractor that does sacrocranial stuff?
He doesn't, but I actually do get that done from my friend Neil from the Awareness Center in Newark. He does cranial sacral and Rolfing.
And
and the Rolfing can actually really help with the headache. I'm glad you asked, because I forgot to even mention that. I'll go see him if it's a really bad one. And he just works on moving it out of your head through deep. And you can do that yourself. You can actually go into where the pain is, press with your finger and focus your attention into where the pain is and breathe into it. Just bringing your awareness to it can move the headache. So I've chased one all through my head before that way. And just taking the time to do that for yourself can really help. And I learned that by going to him.
I know some people say if you make the pain bigger, it goes away. Like maybe that's what you're doing, focusing on it.
Bringing your awareness to it, because you're not trying to move it. You're just bringing your consciousness to that part of your body. And you can do that with any pain in your body, not just in your head, you know?
Yeah.
Did you say it moves away or it just decreases it?
It moves to a different spot. So really you're just paying attention to where it moves. It might go from your temple into another part of your head because it's working, it's lessening the pain, but it's moving it. At least for me.
Oh, this is good.
When I've had severe pain a few times in my life, really severe, where I was on the floor, I just was trying everything and nothing worked. Demerol didn't work. So what I did, and then it did work after that, is I tricked my brain. I think that's the theory. I told myself that I wanted to feel the pain. Give me all the pain you can. And then it relieved the pain. Is that like tricking the brain? I don't know how that worked. But I was in such severe pain and I'm like, okay, give it to me. Give me all the pain. I want to feel all the pain. And then it relieved it. I don't know if anyone's ever done that before.
That seems like almost the same sort of thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
But it's you're not fighting against it. You're working with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, I went with it and then just started away.
That sounds like what my sister does in her Buddhist practice. So I think they teach that too.
You embrace it and you let yourself experience it and then your body rides through it is what my theory is, but I have not investigated it.
Yeah.
What kind of practice, Liz?
Buddhism.
Okay. And that's like an awareness thing.
Yeah.
Yes. If you are fighting it, it's almost, it appears that it gets stuck in that spot. You know, it gets stuck. Whatever your body needs to do to relieve it, you're not allowing it.
And it can also be scary when you're in pain like that, in whatever way. It can create anxiety, and that makes you more tense and resistant. So it's good to find peace in that moment.
Yeah, it helps your body do what it needs to do so you're not shutting it down and, you know, the fight or flight response, and you're tensing it up, and then it doesn't heal.
Wow. Okay. Now, Sindar, does anybody have anything specific to ask Sindar? Because evidently, headache is a big issue.
Sindar, have you been to how many physicians, if you have, and how many were allopathic, and how many were natural, and what's the gamut that sort of got you to where you are now?
Well, I have had a few scans of my head and they've never found anything, but I also struggle with autoimmune stuff, which has also been a guessing game. So that's why I've kind of taken the reins into my own hands. And I have tried one of the mainstream medicines. I can't remember what it's called, but it didn't work for me and you would have to take it all the time. And I just didn't want to go that route. Also, I think a big part of it for me is hormonal, which I forgot to mention. I suffer from PMDD and I have really painful PMS and uncomfortable cramps and all that. So a lot of the times the monthly headache that I'm down to like one a month now will come along with that surge of hormones. So for a lot of women, I think that's the case as well. So I just continue to do what works for me and I trust my intuition and that's kind of how I'm guided to figure it out, you know.
I'm wondering what hormones would be responsible because I had very, very painful every month for like a week. I was in bed pretty much. And I'm on hormone replacement therapy now, but I had the abdominal cramps. I didn't have the headache. So I'm thinking I do know I've heard that it can be hormonal. So I'm wondering what hormones. And
it happens towards the end usually of my cycle. So I'm not really sure. I did start taking or using topically on my skin this progesterone stuff, which seems to really calm down those types of effects with the headaches and the you know, everything else that comes along with it.
Yeah.
It's often like menopause and those kind of PMS. It's not the single hormone, it's the change in the hormone ratios.
Because I'll actually get like two cycles in 1 month, which is kind of like very intense. So I think that has something to do with it too. Just this constant surge of hormones. It's like I don't really get a break from it.
Well, that's recent, isn't it?
More in the last year, yeah. So I've been noticing the headaches coming along more with that wave of, because there's the PMS for a week and then there's the cycle, so there's not really much of a break.
I would like to add one more. I'm thinking of diet. One more thing that could trigger it imbalances hormones and changes them, and I get a spike. I know when I was getting hot flashes with menopause and so forth, and sometimes even now, if I eat a lot of sugar at once, I the flushing, and that's hormonal. And I've been on a sugar-free diet for at least a month now. And everything, I just feel like all the toxins and everything are coming out, and I feel a lot healthier, more energy. I feel like my hormones are more balanced. Oh, and I do applied kinesiology, or maybe chlorella in the morning.
Oh, Samira, do you wanna?
Yeah, I can share my life, lifelong relationship with migraine. So in my case, it's definitely DNA. But I heard the other day something really interesting, and it really resonated. I'm sure you guys heard of it already, that the DNA is a loaded gun, but it's the lifestyle that pulls the trigger. It really resonated with me. So my mom has it, my aunt had it, my grandma had migraines, but I'm originally from Bosnia, so we are really heavy on milk and wheat. That's our diet. So I think those two and coffee, those three definitely contribute to severity of expression of migraine. And I've linked it to milk. So like what Sindar said, I really relate to most of it, that it's around the cycle. There are times like I try to change. I don't know. It's bizarre. Like when you track something all your life, it's funny. I used to have a calendar. Like I would have a migraine every single Saturday. I could plan around my future migraines. And it was not, this is not hormonal. Like it was every Saturday. But then later on, I came to realize I had a very stressful job. As soon as stress, like during the very stressful time, I will be migraine free for as long as that stress lasts. A moment I'm done and relax, immediate migraine trigger. So it was Saturday. So I tried changing my diet back then. I stopped eating my bagel in the morning, which was a sinful act. I stopped, and my migraine moved from Saturday to Tuesday. So it didn't really give me a break. Just change the calendar. So it's not really so it's a bunch of things, and obviously every person is individual, and they struggle with their own DNA package and the lifestyle package and the stress level thing. So for now, right now, I refuse to stress. So I just whatever has a potential of stressing me, I block it. So I think I'm living fairly stress-free life. I go to my garden to de-stress from any noise. But milk, fresh cow milk. Remember one time, Connie, I brought milk from Henry and the cow just gave birth and I got a migraine the day after. It was like immediate trigger. It was because the milk, cow milk, was loaded with hormone. Who knew? I mean, I didn't think of it. You connected the dots. So fresh milk is definitely no. I did not. Aged cheese can be a trigger, or it can escalate migraine for me. So, but not fresh, like yogurts and fresh farmer's cheese wouldn't do it, but if I have any other aged cheese, it would definitely do it. Wheat is, I cannot talk about wheat. Wheat is something that's just so hard for me to fight because I just love it. I buy organic flour and I bake a lot. I nearly don't buy anything in supermarkets when it comes to food, but I struggle with controlling the wheat consumption. So yeah, it's so when I'm in the pain, the pain management, I totally second Sindar on. And it was your, Connie, your idea to play that music on YouTube, frequency music for migraine. Actually, when I have a migraine, I forget about it. It's my son who tells me, "Mommy, mommy, here's your music." So, but what I noticed, if I put a phone with, it's a sound really, it's vibration. If I put it away from me, it doesn't do anything. But if I'm holding it, or put it somewhere on my body, I think that proximity to the body or touching it really makes a world of difference. So the relief sound from YouTube, and there's one that I mean, it works. It shaves off, on a scale of, I don't know, 100% you're in pain and you can't think from pain. It really shaves off a good 30% of the pain. It doesn't eliminate it, but it shaves it off. It becomes more manageable. However, the moment I stop, the pain comes back. So you have to have that freedom to be in touch with what really helps me get rid of some of the migraines is at first I started with lemon and coffee, So for me, coffee really is important aspect. I stopped drinking coffee for a while to see if I have addiction, and I can function without coffee. And I did not get migraine because I didn't have coffee. So I don't know that it's addiction. I think there's something in a combination of my migraines get better if I consume coffee. And I think, Connie, you discussed it, like we were talking about it. It probably has to do with the process of dehydrating and narrowing the things that are overextended. The other day, I had a headache, and literally one of the veins popped out on my forehead. Like you could see it. When I put my fingers on it, I feel the pulsation on it. It was just it was brutal. So what I do, I put ice pack on my head, and I put when it's really, really bad, I put ice pack on my head, and I put my feet in a tub of very hot, as hot as I can bear water. That relieves the pain. But these are all pain management things. You know, so they're not really solutions to migraines. I think I have embraced life with migraine, and I just sort of manage it. I stopped looking, like for all other health conditions, like my arthritis or something else, I always look for the root cause and try to get, you know, address the issue and make it go away. With migraines, I just accept it. I accept it. It's a migraine. It's coming. It's usually around the cycle. Certain foods can trigger it, and I just live with it. And again, witnessing everybody else in my family, it didn't really help keeping motivation to find the root cause. So I skipped. One of my cousins had an alcoholic husband, so he would have these really, like, real alcoholic. He would have really bad headaches in the day after. I don't know. I don't drink alcohol, so I don't know. She told me that she would make very strong coffee for him and squeeze half a lemon in it, and he would take that in a shot, and it would help. I think that's, again, I used to do it. It is so disgusting. I don't know if any one of you ever tried to squeeze half a lemon in like a shot of espresso. It's the most horrific drink you can have. And you cannot have it as a shot. You have to drink it over the period of 30 minutes. And it really acts like a painkiller. So, well, I don't know. I shouldn't say painkiller. Let me take that back. It does something to your stomach. It does something to the stomach. So if there's a link between, if there's a nausea associated with pain, it does something to. So I used to do it, but it's just so horrible that I stopped doing it. So now I make a lemonade with ginger in it. And then I make very strong coffee, and I take a sip of each individually, and I enjoy that I can have, you know, like a lemon, ginger, a bit of sugar or honey in it. Very strong. Lemon has to be fresh. It cannot be something that I tried using lemon, like I would cut lemon in half and keep half in a fridge for salads or something. But when I have migraines, I always cut open fresh lemon. I don't because it is stomach and nausea. If it's not fresh lemon, it can make my nausea worse. I don't know how lemon works, but something with oxygen and open lemon definitely changes lemon. I don't know. So it's a little bit of ad hoc of everything. But I think I addressed everything. Again, we discussed this in these calls, magnesium. Everybody tells me, oh, magnesium deficiency helps migraines. Every time I took it in a beautiful blue sky day, no hormones, I got a migraine from magnesium. So I stopped trying magnesium. But I think it's very individual response. I don't think everybody else should give up on their magnesium. I just think it's there's something in my structure that does not tolerate magnesium. So I think that's all I had to share. I feel like I was all over the place, but it's really just pain management. I lived through a war, and my mom was about my age when war started in Bosnia. We had a war for 3 years. She didn't have a migraine throughout the entire war because of stress. And ever since war stopped, she after and her men she was in menopause, so her period stopped, the war stopped, she never had migraine again. Her sister continued to have migraines for the rest of her life until she passed away, so it well into her 70s. So I have a feeling this excessive stress keeps migraines away from me. But after stress, I can have headache for 2 solid days. I will just be closed in. When I have a migraine, everybody knows. They move out of my way. Now that I can afford that, I'm not working at the moment, I can just close myself in a dark room, no light, no sound, and sit there with pain. I would doze off a little bit, fall asleep back, but it's not really sleep. It's like I'm always conscious. 24 hours, well, 48 hours if it's really bad migraine. When I used to work, I would take Excedrins. I never wanted to take prescription drugs because I just feel like I need my kidneys for as long as I live. So I just didn't want to go. If it's not over the counter, I just don't want it. So, but I used to take 6 Excedrins. Like I would take 2, and after 2 hours, nothing happens. And I would take another 2, and after 2 hours, nothing is getting better. I take another 2, up to 6, and then I read on a label. Finally, I read the label on Excedrin not to do that, and I stopped. But certain migraines are just not like they have their course. If I don't have a migraine for a month, I will get a really bad one. If I do get them more often, they're less hard. As if it's some sort of cleansing mechanism. Like, I don't know. I almost feel like it's a living thing. I don't know. If I don't have it for a long time, the one that is coming will be really brutal. So, I was talking to Connie this morning. Migraines and headaches, in my opinion, are really different subjects. Because headaches, I get a tension headache. I can get a headache because I didn't sleep last night or something happened. I'll get a headache. And headaches go away. You know, you I don't know. I don't get too many simple headaches. But migraines are just migraines. And I know I will get a migraine at least 2 to 3 hours if I'm awake. If I get them in sleep, if I wake up with a migraine, it's too late. But I know I will get a headache because of stomach nausea. I will get very specific nausea that is migraine nausea. I get them 2 to 4 hours, 2 to 3, 4 hours before the pain comes in, and I know the pain is coming. And based on nausea level, I can tell how painful migraine will be. So this is the period, if I catch it while I'm awake, this is the period that I will take ginger, lemon, coffee, and try to sort of sort it out in my stomach, in my gut, before it hits my head really hard. And 6 times out of 10, it actually works. It actually works, and I'm really grateful for that. But times when it doesn't work, just go for a ride. The pain management that you guys were talking about, focusing on a pain, I'm really curious. I will try. The number one thing that migraine does for me, the pain blocks ability to think. It's extreme. I don't know. It's such a form of pain that I cannot think. I cannot focus. I try to meditate. I cannot focus on meditation. I cannot pray. I pray regularly. When I have a migraine, that's the only time when I cannot pray because the pain is so severe. So, I don't know, focusing on pain and inviting more of it. I don't know that I can even, I can, like, I can, my brain cannot engage there. It just shuts down. It really shuts down. I can't think. I wish, perhaps again, if it doesn't escalate to the level of severe pain, maybe I need to work on a thinking mechanism before that. But if it's really bad, I just shut down. I'm not functional. My people know in my house, there's no lunch, there's no food, there's no dinner, there's nothing. Like, I have a migraine. That's it. Out of service. I don't have to write the sign. I'm out of service.
Now, what's that thing you tie around your head? Does that
Yeah.
help?
So that, well, it, so anything that restricts blood access to my head. So I have a scarf, simple scarf that I tie around my head. It's actually my Indonesian friend who started it in a way. So she tied a head, but I didn't just tie it across my forehead. She would tie it under, like in the lower part of, you know, where the two arteries are entering the brain, or right where you feel the head. I don't know. She would tie it and then tighten it, really, really make it tight. It really, all it does is restrict access of blood or how much blood gets into your head. That helps. But I always tie my head. And headache is really bad. I tie my head. I think it's partially psychological. It does help reduce pain a little bit, but I'm also not, I don't like that very severe restriction. So what I do is I just find a very hard pillow or towel. I will roll up the towel and lay on it. And that way just use the weight of my head to restrict access of blood to my head. But I don't like to overdo it because it restricts oxygen and everything else to my head. So yes, I don't feel pain, but I don't think it's a right thing to do. I don't think it's a healthy thing to do. So I tie that, and I usually put ice on my head. So anything that slows down, I guess, blood getting into my head is it works. The cold pack on my head and a hot feet in a hot water, they also help. But the moment you walk out of it, I mean, how long can I sit like that? You know, like 30 minutes. I feel relief. I feel better, but I have to move on. As soon as I move on, the pain comes back. So the one thing that always helps with my migraines, because they are related to my stomach, even if they're triggered hormonally, whatever, if I manage to puke, if I can get whatever is causing that pain from my stomach out of my stomach, but that is like such a difficult task. I force myself, I take a toothbrush, I stick it in my throat, I will gag until all my muscles hurt. I cannot make myself puke. If I manage to throw up, I feel so much better. It's really just downhill. From that point, it's like we're talking about 2 to 3 hours of discomfort and I'm out of the pain. So it's definitely my gut. It always comes back to the gut. There are these triggers like foods, like hormones, but it's the gut. In my case, my migraine is directly related to my gut. If I could solve the gut puzzle, it would. And I think this lemon and ginger and coffee, I think, well, obviously it does go, it dehydrates me, it constricts the veins and stuff, so it helps. But it's the gut that is at the core of all issues. I went to a functional doctor to and I asked specifically about migraines, and his opinion was that this muscle, I do hold stress, and I do hold my shoulders. I don't have a good posture. I'm not really built strongly. So that there's muscle here that goes from your shoulder to your neck. That he said that I put a lot of strain on that ligament or muscle. I don't know. I think it's a muscle. Anyway, he thinks that my migraines start from there, and then they go to my gut. I tend to disagree, but I'm not sure. I'm not. He might be right. I'm not sure because, again, I have because of posture and again just the tendency to even when I'm working on emails and the computer, I'm reading a book. Like for some bizarre reason, I just keep my shoulders up, and that tenses these muscles. Perhaps I sort of invite it onto myself. I don't know, but I cannot disprove him. But it did help when he massaged these muscles. It did help, but I didn't have a migraine at the time. And when I have a migraine, I don't know. I didn't try massaging these muscles, and I have migraine. I don't know. I have a feeling once the cycle is triggered and there's this nausea and a pain in my head that starts going, I don't know that massage or any muscle would help. Either I throw up or I just suffer through it for as long as it is. Sometimes it's 24 hours, other times it's 2 days. But it didn't go into third. I'm grateful. I'm still very grateful. There's worse. I know people who lose vision, like Alta was just mentioning, like it impacts their vision. There are other forms of expression, but sound sensitivity to sound and light are it really it, sound and light are the worst. Like I just have to withdraw myself into space where there's no light. Even behind the curtain, there's like a little bit of light coming just sideways. It's like the pain shoots immediately up. It's instant response to light and sound of the pain, just pain. But yeah, that was. I feel like it's a sad story rather than learning experience.
Well, no, this is good, Samira. Thanks for all this.
I think I wish I
and
could give
actually that thing
practical tips.
that your doctor said reminds me that the vagus nerve comes out there at the base of your skull, and if you pinch that off or stop the vagus from working, it causes digestive problems. Yeah.
Really? So I have to look into that because that's exactly the point where my Indonesian friend, she was really into massages and stuff. That's right under the skull. That's the area she would massage, and the pain would go away. She's no longer keeps going back to Indonesia, but
I think we have to do something on Vegas at one
yeah,
point.
because if it connects the gut and the pain in the head, it definitely. I don't know.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions for Samira?
I have a comment for Samira.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to assume. Well, I was gonna say, Samira, is I had really bad sound sensitivity. I didn't have migraines, but I had really bad sound sensitivities, and I treated it with benfotiamine, which is a special form of B1, and it really worked. I'm wondering if it would help with your migraines.
What is it? Can you spell it for me?
Yeah.
I got it here. I'll put it in the chat actually
Okay.
if you
Okay.
want. But this hits a this sounds right. Where's chat?
I do feel like it's again, there's a DNA, but then there's a lifestyle. It really resonated with me that I feel like I should be able to make changes in the lifestyle. And obviously I have to try different things to really to see what, but I'm also in premenopause now. So, sometimes I would have period and then 3 months later, I don't know. I mean, it's sort of very, I used to have a very, very regular cycle, and migraines used to be associated with PMS. Then at some point in my life, they were PMS and post PMS. I would get them twice a month, obviously after stress and work, but that I don't count that I know it's stress and it's work and there was nothing I can do about it.
Does the sound only come when you're have a migraine?
Only when I have migraines. But I feel like you said, vitamin B, perhaps it's something in my diet. It's just, I'm not,
Well,
I think
thiamine.
magnesium, like magnesium, that I cannot take any supplement, but perhaps I have to focus a little bit more on diet too. Maybe a magnesium supplement is too strong. Maybe I need to consume it in a lesser or more digestible form. I don't know, but I definitely am lacking some
something.
But the benfotiamine might be a good idea because online it said B vitamins, so I can bring some over for you to try.
Because that particular vitamin B1 is very hard to absorb. If you just take a normal supplement, you probably won't absorb it. And so they made a, this is actually a like sort of a chemically processed one or something. They do something to enhance
Is
it.
it liposomal?
No, let me see. I've got some here. And I actually put them under my tongue because I absorb it much better that way. It tastes awful, but it works. I used to have really bad sound sensitivity and vibrational sensitivity, and this turned it around. And kids with autism use this for sound sensitivity as well. What were you asking, Connie, about it? No, it's not. No, it's some kind of. It's not the natural form of it.
Okay, well, send me the link to your brand that you take,
Okay. Yep.
but you still put it under your tongue.
I do. And it doesn't taste good. I put a number of supplements under my tongue. Usually they taste good. This one tastes pretty bad, but it works, so I do it. I got used to it. If you
Wow.
don't, if you just put it on your tongue and then, keep it there and don't really swallow it, you won't taste it so much. But if you start stirring it up, then you'll taste it. It won't taste good.
So, do you take this every day?
I don't take it every day, but I take it frequently. Helps with digestion too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is I was thinking when Samira was talking about the, and she was nauseated, and if she got nauseated, it would relieve. I'm thinking of the gut-brain connection. And also, could allergies, we're all different. So, could allergies to some foods trigger?
Yeah, I mean, it's my kids. I have two kids, and both have severe allergies, but they were born with severe allergies. And my milk was, they were allergic to my milk, my breast milk, and I was not giving them any formula, and it was shocking to me. But we lived. There's no allergy anything in my family, not in my husband's, and both of my kids had such severe allergies. So I attribute it to living in New York City, in Manhattan, taking subway full of asbestos, eating. Only eating out, never ever bothering to cook because it's more expensive to cook than to eat out. So after so many years, obviously my immune system sort of put up with it, but I gave birth naturally. So I think in the process of giving birth, I don't know, both of my kids really got, which in retrospect, I see it as a blessing because it brought a lot of awareness on food and health very early on for them. So they never, my kids could never afford to eat any junk food. They never ate any junk food in their whole lives. They couldn't eat anything, actually. It's a different topic. But allergies to food, now I have this bizarre eczema. Their allergies were exhibited in the form of eczema and asthma, but full body eczema, like nothing left. I remember picking up my daughter as a baby. And when I put her down, I have her skin on my fingers because she's constantly having constant reactions. Bubbles of water form, they break out. It's like her skin was scaly. It was just disaster. And I saw every doctor from Mount Sinai to Columbia to NYU. It was just ridiculous. That's how I, that was my head-on introduction, how incompetent the medical system is. But now I never had eczema in my life. Now I'm developing eczema, so I have a feeling that finally, my body is showing me that perhaps I have certain allergies, but you know how body just learned has a coping mechanism instead of explicitly showing it just sort of puts up with it and stores it somewhere else. I don't know. Some imbalance is definitely happening. So now I picked up that my eczema is directly related to wheat consumption. If I have more bread than usual or cake or something, the eczema flares up. It's just on one spot, it's a small patch. So I think allergies are just another alarm system that something is off, in my opinion. And obviously my migraines, they were, I'm sure that if I sort of have a lot of work to do. My number one problem is convincing myself not to stop baking. It's so hard. I was just telling Connie, I know I should not bake. I know I shouldn't. But I have a whole family. I cannot punish everybody because so I end up baking and I end up eating it. So I'm in a vicious cycle of
Well,
in my head.
I have a couple of comments.
Yeah.
Have you looked into other types of flour besides wheat? There's coconut flour, nut flour,
Yes, I have
tamarind.
to. So I bought I have a few other versions of flour, but I didn't really cook significantly with them. But I do have to try. I do,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. The other thing I wanted to
Apparently
comment with
wheat
the,
is the worst, especially
yeah.
American wheat. Even when it's organic, it's still really
Yeah.
bad for your gut, even when it's organic. And I only cook with organic. So
Yeah.
I have to switch to there's a lot of talks if you think you can have grain
at least shift to ancient grain like safflower. And I bought safflower and I baked it. And it's okay. It's good. I just was testing. So perhaps I just have to stop. The only way not to cook for me certain things is not to bring them into the house. If I bring them into the house, I will be the first one to stumble upon it. So I just have to stop buying it.
The other
But
thing with the magnesium,
go ahead.
sorry, yeah, magnesium is you can get the sprays to spray on you and absorb through your skin. I had, a friend of mine who was having a lot of body aches. She can't take supplements, so she did an Epsom salt bath, and she said the pain went away. So it is effective, and it's also a matter of the type of magnesium. Like I think malate, Connie, you probably know malate is good for body aches, but I don't know if that would work for you or not.
Don't you take Epsom salt baths,
I
Samira?
don't take them regularly. I'm scared of baths. When I have a migraine, I cannot take a bath. But heat is just horrendous. It just makes pain far worse. But I don't take regular baths. I occasionally, when I go hiking unusually long, and I know I will be aching the next day, that's when I take a bath. I'll take Epsom salt
Samira.
bath, and then I know I will be fine tomorrow. There will be no body aches.
I was gonna say, when you are you the one that dips your feet in hot water? Because if you put some, the magnesium salts in the water,
In hot water, that's very
when you're dipping
interesting.
them, yeah,
Oh, that's
because
very interesting. I
that
should try in
absorbs.
that hot water put up some salt.
Yeah, but I don't have any, but I usually use the magnesium itself, because it, it's
Does
really
Epsom
just.
salt have enough magnesium, or I need to add some more something else to it?
You can buy straight out magnesium instead of half and half that you can soak
It's
in.
very interesting. I have to try because I do use
And the other thing is, one of the things, is mold really triggers migraines. The mold in the home, because 70% of homes have mold in them. You just
Yeah.
can
Wait a
see
minute.
it.
I did. Oh, mold.
Mold,
Mold,
yeah.
yes.
I was thinking about that the other day, not related to my migraines, but when I go to the basement, so I don't think I cannot know. I don't know that
No,
we have mold.
it's hidden in the wall. By the time you see mold, it is completely saturated
It's
your
too
home.
late, right? In my basement, I smell it.
Yeah.
In my
So
basement, I don't see
that
it.
really
It's absolutely
triggers.
not visible, but I'm afraid that the I have a feeling that we get it into the house from basement. Portion of our basement is finished, and the other portion is not finished, but it's neat, it's clean, there's no visible mold anywhere. It's just a storage. But I think the heating system and AC system, the ventilation picks up because we do have vents in the basement as well. I have a feeling it gets circulated into the house.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Connie,
I
you
think
also.
you just hit on something because actually we have stucco on our homes, and you know how some of the mold will grow between the stucco and the inside mold wall. So and we suspected mold in your house before, right? Maybe even in your bedroom.
Well, I have a feel. So my bedroom is right above the vent from basement comes straight up into our bedroom, unlike other spaces where sort of. So I have a feeling we're really getting direct either from the stucco wall, it is stucco, or from the basement. You mentioned to Musa some air purifier for mold, Connie.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I
I
don't
don't
know
know.
that he. I have
I
actually.
can I can send you some information on that if you want.
Now you okay? So I have something else to share. But it's sort of unrelated, but it might be related. So I have, ever since we were in this house for 3 years, so I don't really know house that well. But ever since we moved in, there's this, and we have a well water. In my only in master bedroom bathroom, we have this pink residue everywhere
Oh,
in the
we
shower
have
tap, in the
it.
sink, yeah, in a toilet, but only in our bathroom. No other space in the house, and there's a particular smell with it. So I kept looking for it. Like when the water, we have water filters, we have all sorts of things to make sure it's not water. So in the end, I found out that there's this pink bacteria. I don't know the name of it. I did research. I was like, what is the pink, whatever, pink bacteria or pink residue in my bathroom? So I found out it's this bacteria that is airborne. It is really in the air in a particular space, and there's nothing you can do to wash it off. It's in the space. So then I remember my mom back home burning the root. We have a different name for it, but it's elecampane plant. So you burn it like an incense. And what she did, what my grandma did this, it's something locally grown. I don't know, I think it just grows in the wild. And they will collect this root, dry it, and burn it whenever somebody's sick in the house to prevent virus like, you know, people would visit people when they're sick back home. They wouldn't leave you suffer in pain alone because you're contaminated. So they would just burn this, they would burn this root, and it would literally sterilize the air. So I bought the elecampane here root. I burned it in my, I just used the small thing, charcoal, burned it in my bathroom, and the pink went away.
Oh.
So I went to my basement, pink went away. The smell that was very specific to that pink thing, and the pink thing went away. So I was in my basement smelling this mold, and I was thinking, is there something? Because there's nothing visible, there's no mold to see. I wonder if there's something that ki can kill mold airborne that you can burn like an incense.
What do you know what the root was?
Well, for the pink thing, for this airborne thing, it's elecampane. It's called elecampane. I can show
Okay.
you. I have it in my closet. It doesn't smell too bad, but it really worked for the pink thing. So if it kills that bacteria, now mold is fungus. I cannot assume. I haven't tried burning it down in a basement. It's one specific area of the basement, just one area of the basement that I can smell mold. So I didn't try burning elecampane, but I'm thinking I have to do research and see if there's something that, because you see, our house is on top of the hill, but basement is definitely below ground level. So if there is constant exposure to wet, to water, to whatever of the big cinder blocks, like if there's a constant source of mold, like I can never eradicate it. There's nothing I can do to really eradicate mold. Perhaps if it's just the mold is behind the stucco, if we change stucco, yeah, we'll get rid of that. But I can smell it in the basement. I can legitimately smell it. So I wonder if I can find way of maintenance of mold through, I don't know, burning some incense. I don't know. It just crossed my mind
Can you?
after success with my
Didn't
pink
we
tobacco.
do a whole thing on mold?
On mold, yes, but I don't
Yeah.
remember reading anything about. Well, there's like biofilter this, biomachine that, but I would rather have
No, we
something.
had some remediation, special
I
remediation
haven't seen it.
cleaners
I have
that
to look. I have to read it again. I have to
encapsulated.
go back to the notes.
So anyway,
I
mold.
want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I don't know if Monica was introduced enough, but she is kind of a specialist in allergies and asthma. Am I correct, Monica?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she is a
Oh
good
wow.
resource.
Oh wow. That's
Yeah.
great.
The other thing I wanted to ask, can you spell that
Elecampane?
elecampane?
I cannot spell it until I know it. Hold on. I've got to get it on.
I
You have
looked
it?
it up. Wait a minute.
Okay. All right.
I'll put it in the chat.
But yeah, okay. But yeah, I think Monica might be a good resource for
Yeah, I would
that.
definitely. My kids have now grown out of a lot of them, a lot of allergies. And you know, in the end, it was in Africa that my kids were cured after visiting every specialist in the city, after going to Chinese doctors, Ayurvedic doctors, Indian conventions with all sorts of alternatives. Like they we found we didn't they were not cured from allergies, but they were able to eat without immediate skin reaction. But the asthma is still as they're growing out, thankfully, I'm really grateful that they're getting better. They can eat more things. They couldn't eat egg, milks, nuts, fish. It was really green peas. They were allergic to green peas, everything. So now it's much better. As they're getting older, both of them, they can introduce more foods. But asthma is still, even though they were swimming, they were really good swimmers from young age. I was focusing on swimming because of their asthma issues. They still get occasionally asthma spells. Maybe we could have a Connie. Asthma and allergies and this whole thing could be a good topic.
Monica could add a lot to that.
I
So,
also have asthma, so I would like to do that one as well.
well, you know, Clorox causes asthma, and the chlorine in the pool causes asthma.
Oh my God. And they tell you have asthma, go swim in the pool. This world is a
it
funny place.
damages
Unbelievable.
I had asthma, and when he was younger, and hot and cold would trigger it, in with the weather and exercise, but.
Exactly. Hot and cold will trigger. Cold will regularly trigger my kids' asthma.
Yeah, but I noticed he kept complaining he was having more trouble breathing after he brushed his teeth every night. That became a pattern. So I look at the sink and I pull out the plunger part, and there's all black mold in there.
My
That's
goodness.
how it's everywhere.
His asthma went away. I just had a quick comment about how to get rid of mold in the whole house. You can use an ozonator. I used to sell them, but you cannot be in the house when the ozonator is on high, and it'll kill viruses, bacteria, and mold. Well, and Monica might have experience with that too. And then you can run that through your ventilating system, because if you have anything that you didn't get, it'll eventually start reproducing again. And there are specialists that can do that.
Do the
I have a couple commercial ozonators in my house here. I've used it in the meeting and in, other people's houses and stuff to get rid of their mold.
Now, my question is, so this is why I'm thinking of burning incense. If one can determine, just like with my migraines, if you can find the root cause, you can address the root cause, and it's worth, like, at that point, if you can address the root cause, it's worth anything to do. But if it's seeping through the cinder blocks constantly, doesn't that, I mean, I feel like it's uphill battle, like
Right, you have to
inevitably.
get rid of
Yeah,
the
is that
dampness, the water problem.
so I would have to dig around the house and insulate or something. I don't know. I just feel like that area, because on the inside of the basement, there's absolutely no trace. The cinder blocks are painted white. Again, I don't know the history of the house. We were here only 2 or 3 years, but it looks, there's absolutely no traces, visible traces of mold, but I can smell it. I can definitely smell
That's
it.
what I was
And
saying.
as I step into
More
that
by the
space, I
oh, I'm
smell it.
sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Well,
Go
that's
ahead.
what I was saying. By the time if mold ever come, you see it on the wall, it is so bad you don't even need to be in that house. But it attaches itself to all the different things in between the walls, like the insulation. And if there's dampness in there, it's still growing. But but because
It
it's,
doesn't
like I said,
show, but it's growing.
yeah, it is
So
growing.
ozonator would actually, Connie, maybe I have to try
And
that.
yeah, I
Put
mean, yeah.
basement.
Yeah, you can do the
People.
ozonator, but obviously, you can be in the house, and then sometimes it releases things in the home that you don't want again. Do that, but it does do that. But
But then it doesn't get, like, if it's inside the wall,
yeah.
the ozone. Like when I ran it in our house, we had no stink bugs. Who knows behind the wall? I had to have the ducts clean and the chimney clean.
I'm in the company that actually does that, and we have one that doesn't use, it's not dangerous. You can be in the home. And one of the things it does, it actually penetrates walls. Because that's how I actually got into it, because I was like you. I bought a house that had mold and I didn't know, and I just started getting sick. And until I had my home, actually tested, and there was, I mean, it was ridiculous. But you couldn't see it, but I was getting sick for no reason. That's how I actually got in that. But the technology that I use, it actually penetrates walls, it penetrates mattresses, it penetrates absolutely
Really, what
everything.
is the product?
It's called Active Pure.
Active Pure, and what is it?
It's actually it's a purifier. The history of it is very interesting. I don't want to take into, maybe when we have our conversation,
But you know,
I can think about it.
do you have a link, or do you want to just address
Yes.
this at a different time?
All right, let me address it at a different time, because I don't want to take
Okay.
the time for this, for that. Yeah.
Very interesting. That would be very interesting to learn
Yeah,
more about.
it was
Yeah, I
really
think
great to
that
learn about that.
you should have been here for the mold.
Well, we do it a second time around, and hopefully
Yeah.
we can
Yeah,
eradicate
sure.
it now so we don't have to have another one.
It
Right.
wouldn't hurt to do it a second time around because some of us, there's so much information coming
Yes.
through here that
I
we need to
appreciate
hear
it
it two or
if
three times before we
it's
can really process
exactly.
it.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna work on putting all this together too. So how about if we go to somebody else with
Could I just make one comment?
Oh yeah, sure.
So Samira, I just wanted to thank you for your willingness to share all of this. Not only did I find someone else who has the pink thing, the pink residue in the bathroom, and that's an interesting conversation we can continue. But I think that when we share our stories, we bring up other things. We start a conversation. We
That's what I
start a
love about this call.
conversation
Yes,
that
I
might
love this
not have occurred.
call. Yes, I love this call because sometimes talking about your own problem gives you, it triggers your own thinking process. Or somebody has something to tip in. It really, and what I absolutely love about it is just that we share experiences. I think for me, sharing experiences is far more valuable. Everybody has access to the internet and everybody can Google a topic and you will get tons of recommendations. But talking to people with personal experience is way more valuable than
Absolutely,
reading and
absolutely.
plowing through the web.
Yeah,
But thank you.
that's I always say, if every time you have to start with the three things that God created on the earth, and that's water, nutrition, and air. When you take three those into consideration, that's the first thing that you do, everything else revolves around it. Because sometimes we run to all different other things that, they may help, but they take longer. But when you take care of those three things, and they're the healthiest thing that you can do, your body will start to heal itself because it recognizes it.
So, Connie, I will also have to leave. I have an appointment, otherwise, I really wouldn't.
Well, thanks a lot for all
No
this,
problem. Thank
Samira.
you. Yeah, that was
And
wonderful.
And that was really good.
Yeah.
So, huh? You want to? Who's next?
I can go next.
Who was that? Nancy?
Jean. No, Jean.
Oh, Jean. Sorry, I didn't see you. I didn't see your lip move.
Okay, so that's one of my things that I've suffered with through most of my life, headaches, and I never thought of them as migraines. I mean, I thought for a while it was a migraine, but then I read something about it and I said, well, that's not me, but I was just reading some more. And I don't know if migraine is just a term used for certain symptoms or if there's something specific about it. But my headaches are not like regular headaches that some people get. They'll get a little headache and it's usually up here and they take something and it goes away. Mine are kind of like more intense. They are triggered. And what will normally happen is that the neck muscles get really tight and it'll affect my stomach. When I have the really bad ones, it will affect my stomach so that I vomit. And all I can do is sit up in the couch. I can't lie down. I sit up, sip water, and stay perfectly still. And that helps. Sometimes I try to avoid vomiting, but I know that when I vomit, I feel better. Not totally, but it improves a lot. So I've come to the point where I used to tally them on my calendar when I get a slight headache and when I get a severe headache. And it seemed like I was getting some kind of headache about every 10 days. And the major ones were, you know, maybe twice a month or something. So I've come to a point where I rarely get one now. And if I do, it's slight when I first wake up and I can get rid of it. So I think I'm on to what's causing my headaches. And I was told a long time ago from blood work that I have a sensitivity to chocolate and sugar and a bunch of other things, but I've really taken notice, and the chocolate and too much sugar does trigger my bad headaches. So I love chocolate. Of course, I love sugar, but I've found that if I just do a little bit and if I don't do it too late at night, I don't get the headache. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. So that seems to be the trigger.
So as long as you don't eat chocolate or too much sugar, you don't get a headache.
Well, there's other things too.
Okay.
Hydration is important for me. Somehow I get dehydrated really easy, and I'm trying to figure that one out, but I can control it with the hydration. I also find that I do have sinus problems. Not they don't get infected, but they get clogged a lot. And when I have the headaches, it does affect the sinus area as well as the back of my neck. So I have done a lot of acupressure on those muscles in my neck, and it does relieve it to a certain point, but it doesn't get rid of it totally. I did find ice really does help. And, you know, sometimes I get to a point and it's like, okay, I can't remember all these things. And, you know, I'm just feeling so lousy. I don't feel like I keep getting up for more ice or something. So it's not like a foolproof thing. Excuse me a minute. Okay. What was the other thing? Let's see. So the acupressure helps. Oh, yeah. I pull on my ear. I just pull it in different ways. And I think it opens up the energy pathways to there. And sometimes that really makes a big difference because there are a lot of meridians that come through here. So that really helps. The other thing for a while is, and everything, it changes. I used to be able to take extra strength Excedrin and it would get rid of it. But I didn't like the way I felt after the Excedrin and the caffeine. Because I'm very sensitive to it. So I didn't want to keep using that. So I don't really take any kind of meds for it. I use all these other things. And of course, when it gets to my stomach, I can't really take anything anyway, because I know I'll just throw it up.
Wow.
So let me think. Oh, yeah. So sometimes, yeah, the gut is a big part of it. And I used to take milkshakes because I love vanilla milkshakes. And sometimes that would, I don't know what it is. It coats the stomach or something, but it would help get rid of some of my minor headaches. I don't think it works anymore, but I do it anyway. thinking, well, maybe it'll help. But and coffee used to help the caffeine, but it doesn't anymore. Let me see, I wrote something though. Magnesium. I think that the magnesium seems to help too, because sometimes I have a problem with the neck here. I go for chiropractic now and then, and they say it's out. And if I sleep kind of crooked, like with my head on too many pillows, I'll wake up with a headache. So I think sometimes it's tied to my neck, and sometimes it seems like I'm not taking the magnesium. If I take the magnesium, it seems like I'm getting less headaches.
What kind of magnesium do you take?
Either citrate or glycinate.
Okay.
Which also, that's another thing, I get constipated sometimes from not enough water. And that seems to be connected at times to the headache. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the magnesium helps with that as well. I don't usually have to blow my nose or sneeze this much, so I'm not sure what that's about. It seems like it's draining because I think I have chronic congestion in my sinuses. And that's why I have to start addressing that as well. But let me think.
Honey, would magnesium taurate be better for headaches? It's supposed to be for the brain.
Well, you know, they all do slightly different things, so you could experiment and see what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Taurate, magnesium taurate, that's what we use. Wait a minute, magnesium malate was for fibromyalgia, right? And mm-hmm. magnesium taurate was good for the heart.
That was good for the brain as well. I might be wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know, throwing out what I learned.
Yeah. So I think I've got a handle on it because I really get them, but I have to be better about not doing the eating the triggers and hydrating enough. My headaches were never affected by sound or light. So that was one of the reasons I didn't think they were migraines, but I don't know, they could be, but I think I know what triggers them. Another thing I will mention, and it's somewhat, I guess it's related to allergies, but I've been reading a lot more about, because I do energy healing, and I've been reading about what happens is sometimes there's a trauma that creates an impression in the cells, and it tells the cells this chocolate is bad for you, so you react to it in whatever way, whether it's inflammation or whatever, I don't know. And I can't say I'm an expert on this field, but it's something I'm starting to look into because I know I've seen these allergy elimination techniques, and I've done one where in the ear with a light therapy, and I haven't really seen that they're 100% effective, but I'm looking into it because it's information. And when you clear that information, they're saying that you can change the way your body reacts to certain triggers. So I don't know. It's just something to look into. I think also clearing the mold and whatever is in, you know, the chemicals in you, yeah, that's effective too. But I just thought I'd bring that up. So mainly that's, you know, I don't get response with like peppermint oil on my temples. I know it works for some people. It didn't work for me. Sometimes I've tried it though on my neck and it may help a little. The ice does seem to help somewhat.
Well, that's good. Well, thanks. And it sounds like, yeah, you found the answers for you pretty much, and everybody's different, it seems.
Yeah.
It's great.
I was interested in your vanilla milkshake solution. the reason I was interested in that is because sometimes when I get really bad chemical exposures or even EMF exposures and I'm not recovering after like 2 days, if I go to Dairy Queen and get a Mocha Mood Latte, which I haven't done in a long time, and I don't normally do, but if I drink one of those, I don't know if it's the coffee or the sugar or the combination, whatever it is, I feel better within a couple of hours. It's sometimes the only thing that may stop the reaction from happening. So fortunately, I haven't had to do that recently. But
Yeah. Well, if it's, you know, it's related to your gut, something you take into your gut, I would imagine, kind of helps. Like I think the milk in the milkshake may be coat my stomach. That's why, like, I can drink milk chocolate. I can eat milk chocolate and I feel better. If I eat the dark chocolate, it feels like it's irritating my stomach.
Maybe it's just strong.
Yeah, it's just strong, but maybe the milk kind of cuts it a little bit too.
Like, I can eat 70% dark chocolate, but I can't eat anything higher than that, or it hurts my stomach. But with me, with the mocha mulatte, it helps, like, the whole body reactions, like the brain reactions that I'm getting and everything, and the fatigue and the joint pains, everything. It just fixes it.
What's in them?
You know, coffee and milk and sugar and crap. Somehow it turns off the switch that's happening in my body. I don't know why. But sometimes I just can't get it to, correct itself, and that will do the trick. Fortunately, I haven't had to do that in a long time.
That's great.
I was just going to say, my daughter, when she's nauseous, will take a teaspoon or maybe a tablespoon of vanilla ice cream, and it calms down her stomach. Isn't that just the most bizarre thing? I mean, I keep thinking that should make it worse.
Yeah.
But I have a question about that. How does she stop after a teaspoon of tablespoon of ice cream?
Well, usually she asks me to give it to her, and I just scoop out a little bit, and that's all that she needs. And once the nausea is gone, then she doesn't have that need for it.
Wow.
And maybe just milk alone would do it, but I don't like the taste of milk, so that's why I do the milkshake. And it's comfort food too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jean, I was wondering, with your sinuses, have you tried a neti pot?
No, it sounds awful.
You know, at the first sign of the sniffles, I'll do the neti pot, and it's just amazing how I have not had a cold or a sinus infection in a long time, and I used to have sinus infections all the time. They were seasonal. They were allergy related, I think. So in the spring and in the fall, I would just have sinus infections, and I don't anymore.
Now, do you use it regularly or just even using it once?
I just use it when I'm feeling when I'm feeling like there's something not quite right in my sinuses. Or if I have a tickle in my throat, then I'll do it too. So
if you get exposed to an allergen, will also get the allergen out of your nostrils, and then it will get rid of the allergic reaction a lot faster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it difficult to get it to go from one nostril to the other?
You know, it takes a couple of tries, but I know my daughter didn't want to use it. And I said, it really can make a big difference. And the first couple of times it was awkward, and it would go down her throat and she would cough. But now it's just a matter of turning your head to figure out, once you get the position that is right, then it's fine. And you'll be able to do that in the future. So the first couple of times it's just using it and moving your head around to find the right position so that it goes in one nostril and out the other.
I used it on my 7-year-old after his poisoning, pesticide poisoning. And it was one of the things and he couldn't even breathe out his nose ever after the poisoning. And it was that and the cranial adjustments that totally cleared his nose.
What do you put in it?
Just salt water. This one was actually from India. This was back in 1994, and before, CVS was carrying them. And my friend lent me this nice copper and nickel neti pot from India. Mm-hmm. And I just held his head down in the sink at the right angle and poured it in until it came out the other nose, and then poured it in this way. And then we went out and onto the deck with a whole bunch of paper towels, and he just blew his nose like in every direction, and it was like a flood came out of there.
It's really good when you do it, actually. Mm-hmm. It clears up everything.
Yeah. I actually add a little bit of xylitol to the to the salt water, because that's really supposed to be good for helping to kill, viruses, and so.
Yeah, that's in that clear nasal spray, the one that spells clear with an X. Mm-hmm. It's LEAR. It has xylitol in it.
Yep.
And it's a sweetener, isn't it?
Yeah.
Xylitol.
Yep.
Yeah, Jean, you might want to just try that clear nasal spray. You can, like, squirt it up your nose. It goes, I don't know if it's as good as the neti pot, but I find it's really helpful.
Okay, yeah. Well, I had an infection at one point. It had gotten really bad, so I couldn't hear too well out of this. And I forget what I did, actually. I think, I was doing eardrops, and it did clear up. But I still think that there's something going on in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess I need to pay attention to it.
Well, thanks a lot, Jean. Is somebody want to go next? It's
12:30.
It's 12:30. If somebody has something to add to the conversation.
Nancy, did you want to? Yeah, I was going to tell you, before you get the net water, everything, if you have a dropper, and use that, because, sometimes it's scary when you're putting a lot of things in your nose. Use a dropper to do it, and then do it in both nose several times and see how that works.
Dropper of salt water?
Like the little dropper that you you just get a little bit and put it in your nose.
Mm.
Yeah, with the salt water and the xylitol.
Okay. Thank you all. Y'all.
Okay. Do we want to continue with Nancy? Did you want to? Oh, Nancy's not there. Okay. Did somebody else have something to add? Experiences?
I'll just share. I don't have any answers necessarily, but when I first got sick with CFIDs, if I was exposed to something like hairspray, I would have a headache for 6 weeks. I mean, nothing would take it away. And so I really had to learn just to identify those things. And hairspray was like one of the top things, those things that would cigarette smoke that would trigger those headaches. And I haven't had any, knock on wood, for a long time now. Perfumes, cigarette smoke. They're things that that for the most part I can avoid or limit my exposure to. Particularly now that I'm at home all the time, I'm not exposed to any of those things. But it was a pretty traumatic experience, and there was just nothing that would touch those headaches. And I tried lots of things, acupuncture. I mean, I never, other than identifying that there were certain things that caused them, I never really, figured out what it was, what the mechanism was, or why they lasted as long as they did. But I would just be on the sofa for weeks and weeks after exposure.
You reminded me of my son, after his poisoning with Durspan became chemically sensitive, and he would be in bed in the dark. Was very sensitive to sound and light, like you say. And he would be in bed for 3 days after exposure to, say, Lysol, Windex, walking through Kmart, and then we found that he was low in cysteine in his blood test. And just giving him L-cysteine on an empty stomach and milk thistle, those two things reduced his reaction time to 12 hours. So I think with chemical sensitivity, you're basically reacting to some poison that would poison anybody, but you seem to have trouble, one of the mechanisms anyway, is trouble getting rid of it. First, in your detoxification pathway, there's a missing link. And if you can find that missing link or correct it somehow, or just take pressure off of it by reducing exposures and increasing your detox, in some way that reduces. Today he's not chemically sensitive at all, as far as I know. He uses things that I don't think he should, but and then the NAET was the other big, which was the energy work. So those two things, I think.
Well, and as you're saying that, Connie, I'm thinking, when I used to have those headaches, that was before I was aware of all these herbs that we can take. I was, that was before that I really understood that they're the milk thistle, the you know, that all these things are helpful. And my diet was not, I don't think I was eating organic. I mean, I think that I was just, the load, I'm sure, in my body was so high that it didn't take much to push me into that overloaded zone. And then it just took me forever to try and clear that out. But I'm living just such, that was sort of the impetus to, for me to figure out how to live a cleaner life so that I didn't have to go through that because it wasn't fun. So in some respects, that's been really good that it opened the door to me discovering how to better take care of myself.
Yeah, I know. That's why I feel that there are times when you have to take medication. Things get critical, but I am happy that I didn't just sedate myself. I explored to find out what's causing my headaches and my constipation. So, yeah, so we have to kind of do both.
Well, you do the mainstream thing until you find the answer, and which is, what's so special about this group is everyone is has taken responsibility and found answers to their problems.
Sue, do you remember Dr. Sika telling people to take Alka-Seltzer Gold when they had a chemical reaction to
I remember Dr. Sika saying that, but I remember that was a thing that Dr. Ray's office.
Yeah, I remember Alka-Seltzer Gold. It was because it had trisalts in it, didn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was alkalizing.
And we still have trisalts in the cabinet. And I learned that from Dr. Ray, because a bunch of people I knew went down to Dr. Ray, including my mother.
Yeah, and I think she told me it would neutralize the pH.
Yeah, it alkalizes your body. I found trisalts help. I never really did the Alka-Seltzer.
What are